Welcome to For Preachers Only podcast. This program is designed to encourage the man of God and strengthen him in his daily life and in his walk with the Lord. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And now, your host, yours truly, your friend and bishop, Dr. L.T. Bryant. Praise the Lord once again, my brothers. This is your brother, preacher, man, Bishop Dr. L.T. Bryant. God bless you. You know, a lot of scandals are going on, and ministries or ministers are being exposed for ungodly behavior while serving. But now you got to understand that scandals in politics, in the ministry, is Bible. We've always had scandals. In high places, there is folly. Now, you men of reputation and power and authority, whether it be in ministry or government, you got to be careful. Because if you don't stay consecrated, especially my brother preachers, if you're on the road all the time, and if you don't stay prayerful and consecrated, you become carnal. Then you go forth to perform spiritual workings of God in the flesh, and it doesn't happen. Your flesh gives in. You see, your flesh is weak. And if you don't feed your spirit while you are constantly on the go, people are constantly pulling on you, and yet you're striving to do God's will. When you don't feel like getting up, you gotta go. When you're trying to sleep, the phone rings. And if you don't stay prayerful, you're gonna begin to lean on your flesh. And your flesh is definitely weak. This is why the Bible says, the apostle said, we can't serve tables anymore, but we must give ourselves continually to fasting and prayer and ministry of the word of God. Now, if you don't like talking to God, then you shouldn't be a minister. Because God should be your favorite, excuse expression, pastime. Oh, yes. When I say pastime, meaning God should be your cup of tea. God should be what you're all about. God should be your favorite subject because you belong to him. A man of God belongs to God first, like the firstborn. He gave the children of Israel land, all but the Levites. He said, because I am, hallelujah, their portion. They belong to me. Their job is to minister to me throughout the duration of their life. Paul said in Corinthians that it is ordained that they who preach the gospel live by the gospel. Amen. You live according to the means of your congregation or your ministry. And that within reasoning, seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Concerning scandals. Oh my God. Samuel was born a prophet. He was mentored under Eli, the priest. And there was a scandal in Eli's house. Eli was old and heavy set. But his two sons who took the priesthood in his stead were not righteous. Sleeping with the women, yes, way back then. And watch this, at the door of the tent. In other words, sleeping with the women in the circumference of the church. extortion, taking more than was their portion. It was very scandalous. This is how the Ark of the Covenant was taken. Because God was in the hands of sinners, men who knew not God, but yet they were in the position of the ministry. You don't become a minister because it's good to make money, supposing that godliness is a game, or you want to make a reputation for yourself. You got to know the God in whom you are serving. You have to know who he is. And Jesus is concerned about the fact if we know him or not. He asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they gave their answers. Yes, and then he turned around and said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? Do you know him? Who do you say that he is? Samuel's sons. After Samuel gave his sons the right to minister in his stead, scandals broke out again. They were robbing the people, not doing right. The Bible says they didn't know God. So the people came to Samuel and said, listen, your sons are not like you. You need to do something. And this is how a king came into place. At the failure of Samuel's son's ministry, the people required a king. And God told Samuel, it is not you that they reject, but it's me. Thus, the ministry of the shepherd as the king. The kings were our first shepherds. I feel a virtue. That means somebody's understanding me. Our kings were the first shepherds. And that's how we got pastors. Shepherds. Because of scandals that broke loose in the house of prophets. Oh, let us not even talk about it. How about Samson? The judge who was full of folly. The judge who loved sinner women. The judge who spent nights in the whorehouse. But yet the anointing of God was yet with him. It was very scandalous. The Philistines would watch this man mess around with sinners and sleep in a whorehouse all night. And they wait to apprehend him, knowing that surely his God's not with him. But Samson would get up and tear the gates of the city off from the roots, pick them up, and carry them on the top of the hill. Then he wanted to marry an ungodly woman, even though God allowed it. He never consummated that marriage, but God allowed it so that Samson could avenge the Philistines for, you know, dominating the Israelites. Now see, in Samson's situation, it is something, because God called him as a Nazarene from birth and made a covenant with him. But what God did was he used Samson's weakness to his glory. God can use your weakness to his glory, but you're not to remain in that weakness. Samson's weakness was women, and he kept his eyes on foolish women and worldly women. He ended up slaying 30 men because of a riddle he gave, and they pressed his worldly wife to be, and she told the riddle. Then he takes 300 foxes, put torches on them, and burns down their field. He turns around and kills 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. So now what am I trying to say? And yet he was doing all of this. You don't want to be quick to judge when the anointing's involved. You don't want to be quick to judge when the power of God is really flowing through someone. And though their life might not be up to par for a season, you don't want to be quick to judge. You want to see what the end of the matter is. Because God will not continuously, in a real way, flow to somebody that is really demonic. He reads the heart. He does not judge by what he sees or by what he hears. But he judges righteously. Look at the scandal that broke out with David. The king took a man's wife and had a man murdered. Wow, what a scandal. Everybody heard about it.
Everybody saw it. David thought he had to cover it up until God revealed it and chastised him. Thus David had to run for his life. The sword came into his home. His children became chaotic. His own son tried to kill him. Another son killed his brother. Another son raped his sister. David had to run for his life. And while David was running, everybody in Judah was following him. And when David turned back, the priests had the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God following David. Oh, David said, no, no, no. Take the Ark back. If God wants to restore me, he will. What David was saying is that God doesn't follow me, I follow him. And if God is allowing this because of my sin, I'll accept my chastisement. Why did the priests do that? Because the last they heard, David was anointed king, and God did not take the anointing from him and give it to another. We must learn to follow the anointing. If the anointing is upon a man, we must respect that and see the end of the matter. Because that means God is still with him. That means he will not be chastised. That means God will not judge him. But at that moment, that anointing is real. The power is real. God is still with him. And yet, God will deal with him. God will deal with him. And God dealt with David. He purged David. He chastised David and put David back on the throne. And David never made that mistake again. God dealt with Samson. Samson said, Lord, remember me. And God did just that. Let me die with the Philistines. Samson repented. You see, because that anointing led them to repentance. King Saul, he did not have the anointing anymore. Neither did he repent. And he died an ungodly death because the Spirit of God was not with him. So when you're looking at scandals, don't be too quick to judge this person. Now, I'm not justifying any wrong, but you must learn to recognize the real anointing of God and respect it on the life of his people that are real. If he's really doing real manifestations of power, his gospel is truth, but his life, there has been a flaw found in his character. God would deal with him. You deal very carefully, because it is written, "Test not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." But that doesn't mean they don't get away, that the prophets and the anointed ones get away with everything. And by the way, that anointed, do my anointing no harm, not only goes for the kings, it goes for all of God's people, not just the preachers, but even these little ones of God we don't want to touch and hurt. So when it comes to scandal, don't be so quick to talk. Like Simeon, when David was running for his life because of the adultery scandal, Simeon cursed him. The king is not yours. Go up, you dog. You're no good. Oh, was he wrong? Was he wrong? Because God was still with David. And everything that David went through for his chastisement, the Lord spoke it. God said that this is what would take place. So when God really has his hand on a man, don't be so quick to judge. Learn to respect the anointing. Because it's not over until God says it's over. And if you've been caught in a scandal, but you really love God, accept your chastisements, repent, correct your ways, seek spiritual help, and strengthen yourself again in the Lord. Get up and finish your task. And tell all your critics, God is not through with me yet. Let me share this with you. You know, God teaches us. I had a dream. And in this dream, there was this well-known evangelist that's in a hotel. And with him was a prostitute. And after they got through having sex, she said, aren't you afraid of all those people at the convention out there? And he says, no. She says, aren't you afraid that they will see what you're doing? And he said, who are they going to believe, you or me? His mistake was that he thought he was bigger than the church. When you think you become bigger and untouchable, exalting yourself, you're headed for trouble. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. When you fail to give God the glory and you walk in self-exaltation, you're headed for a downfall. And that's why a lot of times the scandals come forth. It's because the preachers did not heed the warnings of God. So take heed to yourself
by the Holy Ghost
and unto the flock that God has given you charge over. Stay prayerful, brethren, and learn to respect the anointing of God. Keep your eyes on the anointing, and it will lead you through every scandal, every up and down, every trial, every tribulation, and it will teach you how to judge matters correctly. Lean not upon your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. And remember, if you're caught up in a scandal, humble yourself. Accept your chastisement. Make it right with God. And when God has restored you, you stand up and you go forth. And as he told your adulterous woman, sin no more. Be blessed, my beloved brethren. Keep the faith. Until next time. Until next time, to my fellow ministers, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May God give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. My brothers, we will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. Until next time, keep the faith.